we'll have her concluding chapter here today. But I do want to mention that starting next week, we will have a new study, and that will be by Claudia Barba on Kept by His Hand, The Providence of God. And a wonderful study on how God, you can trust Him in all the affairs of life. You know, one of the things that definitely undermines our ability to handle the basics is when we are living in fear and not trusting that what's happening God can use. Do you realize God's working on your behalf all the time? And the affairs of life are not bothering Him one bit. And He takes Satan's attack and uses it for good over and over. What was the number one attack of Satan that He has used for the greatest good? When Satan put Christ on the cross and our salvation. I mean, that's how powerful and wise and amazing our God is. And so we're going to be looking at God's providence, and I appreciate her study of that, a little different perspective than we've had, trying to have these different subjects that we'll cover, a number of angles that can help you practically. So we'll look forward to getting that started, introducing that next week. Well, I do want to review a little bit before I go into the final conclusion here. The fruit of the Spirit, we need to remember, it is all about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's one of the traps that we fall into. The fact that the fruit of the Spirit is a person, and therefore the fruit of the Spirit is not multiple fruits. It is singular with manifestations that are listed out in the fruit of the Spirit, the different virtues. And as we're going to see today, the Spirit of God manifests Christ's life in our life. And at any one given point in our life, either the Spirit of God is in control, manifesting Christ's life through us, or we're in control, manifesting the flesh in our life. You know, you can have good looking flesh sometimes, as far as, yeah, it looks like it's noble and all, but it's, remember, the fruit of the flesh is always brings corruption when you sow to the flesh. And so right now, and I try to remind you of this periodically, as you're seated here at these tables, you are either yielded and depending upon the Spirit of God and having His miraculous grace empowering you, or that you're just depending on yourself and depending on the habits you've developed by the grace of God, but you are in danger of having Satan overcome you. You are in danger of other things that can come in. And so it's something that we have to remember all the time. I just want to say, ladies, if you will keep the thought on a regular basis that I must be controlled by the Spirit and I'm yielding to Him and you are conscious of Him and communing with Him throughout a day, it will dramatically change your life. Dramatically change your life. God will give you wisdom. He will give you direction. He will empower you. He will cause supernatural results to come from your life. You have a sense of optimism. Even when difficulties come, you will have that lift from the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have all of that operating, and it's a wonderful thing. And so this is not a small little matter that we're talking about. This is the essence of glorifying God by having a life that is manifesting Christ. And so that's what we've been looking at, and as we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, we really have seen the life of Jesus Christ. Let's just go quickly through it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, of course, the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is the opposite of self. Love is when the Spirit of God enables us to be free from self, selfish desire, selfish motives, and genuinely having a heart for others, genuinely sacrificing for others, genuinely thinking about others and the Lord. By the way, that's a miracle. You cannot do that on your own. Now, you have a natural ability for affections. You love your family. You love people around you. But it's not like God's love. That's a miracle where you really do put the other person first and you are free from self. Did you know that your noble affections don't last all the time? Ever notice that? Have you ever gotten irritated with people you love? Now, don't be pious. Yes, you have, okay? You have gotten irritated with people you love, all right? So noble affection is a wonderful ability that God's put into us because we're made in His image. But, oh, I'm telling you, we can get selfish in a moment and that can dwindle. But God's love, even when we are in a frustrating situation, which is later on in the fruit of the Spirit, we're still doing what's right. We're still making the right decisions. We are not letting self overtake us. It's a wonderful thing. That's why marriages can have 100% commitment. That's why there can be genuine relationships. That's why people can serve the Lord and keep on and keep on and keep on. Because it is God, it is not based upon the up and down nature of our emotions. So love is freedom from self, which brings, what's the next virtue? Joy. Man, there's nothing like being free from the prison house of self. Man, that's living. There is just a supernatural joy. However, sometimes we don't feel like we're living because it's not a very joyful moment. And that's where, when we're not having a pity party, we're not thinking of self, but we're allowing the Spirit of God to work, the joy of the Lord is there, even in the hardest moments. In fact, you know when joy is the sweetest? When it shouldn't naturally be there. It's like a jewel. It's just an amazing thing. Because everything is going against you at that moment, but you are walking in the Spirit, and there's a joy deep in your heart. You know God's going to work. You know He cares about you. You know He's working on your behalf, and that joy is something that is such a blessing. And of course, that will lead to love, joy, peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. That all understanding means it's not humanly understood. No person that's unsaved on earth understands the peace of God. They can have tranquil moments. We all did before we were saved. We can have some moments that's very peaceful. But that doesn't last long. The peace of God is guarded by the Spirit of God in our hearts. And again, the deepest peace you will ever have is when you shouldn't be having it. Did you know there can just, it's like the breezes of heaven come over your soul when everything should cause you to be anxious and you just are amazed. Lord, thank you. That peace just goes deep within you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, you see, if you are empowered by the Spirit and living for others and have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God is there, then you have the power to be long-suffering. You see, it all goes at one time together. You are now not thinking about yourself. You're not motivated by yourself. You're not looking at how people are infringing upon your happiness and your agenda and what you want. Instead, you have a depth to you, and even though the temptation is there to be frustrated, God just empowers you to be long-suffering because love is overpowering your attitude at that point. And you can have patience. And aren't you thankful for that, for good people that have patience with you? I had a mom and dad that had patience, thank the Lord. My dad said I was frustrating. He was a man that walked with the Lord. So I think some of my kids had the same genes. But anyway, it's from Adam, you know. But long suffering. And then you get into some beautiful aspects. Love that leads to joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, kindness. You see, instead of frustration, irritation, ugly spirit, wrong attitude, the Spirit of God gives you the ability to do something that edifies. Having the gentle touch, having that care about them. Boy, you just appreciate somebody that cares about you, don't you? I mean, you can tell that's real. That's just a touch from heaven again. And then goodness, that is the goodness of God. That's that wonderful quality that what we're doing is good, is going to last, especially in the lives of other people. And then meekness. Meekness is the reality that it's not about us, it is about others, and we are not holding on to our rights. We are not pushing our own agenda. We are allowing God to enable us to be controlled so that we can honestly do that which is best for others. It's power under control. And then finally, temperance, self-control, as we looked at. And so you have, but can you see how when you have the love of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and you got a long-suffering spirit and you got a gentle, and you have kindness in your heart and you have the goodness of God and there's a meek spirit, how that self-control fits? Because you're satisfied without having what you want. And you don't get out of hand. By the way, whenever you cave in to going to excess in any area, that's a sign that, oops, I'm not exactly under the control of the Spirit. I find temperance is a really good thermometer. Where am I? Just coping. We talked about that, coping the wrong way. And I won't get into some of my favorite little subjects there on coping. Well, let's leave it right there because I want you to enjoy your coffee today. But anyway, but you understand what I was talking about on that. But self-control. So honestly, every morning as I pray, I do go over the fruit of the Spirit. I feel it's very important to go over that and to let the Lord work and then focus on some of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Today, Tuesday, I focus on peace. I always enjoy that and the peace of God. And am I really living in peace or am I allowing anxiety to come in, which means that I'm in the flesh and I'm in danger and I'm not going to have the power of God to meet other people's needs. Peace is an evidence of where I am spiritually. Okay, that was a quick little review, but I wanted to put the whole thing together for you. And remember, you either are controlled by the Spirit or you are depending upon yourself. There's no in between. Nobody here is 40% Spirit and 60% you. Okay, if you're 1% you, you're 100% you. And boy, I tell you, it doesn't take much to step into that. But just be humble and just say, Lord, help me. I want you to control me. There's no big formula. There's no experience that you have to go through. All right. She finishes the book by applying it to a look at Jesus, which is correct because the fruit of the Spirit are the qualities of Jesus Christ. The disciples were definitely aware of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They knew it, and they didn't fully understand it, but they knew it. And so Christ was always fully under the control of the leadership of the Father, always did that which the Father told him to do. He never did allow sin, and we do need to realize, you say, well, he was God, but he was human. He did not have the sinful nature, but he had all the weaknesses of humanity. And so he had to make decisions like we do as far as not at all allowing sin. You see, this is important to understand. He did the will of the Father like we're to do the will of the Father, and he did his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that will empower you that we're talking about is the same Spirit that empowered Christ all the way through his ministry. There in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit came upon him and that's when he did his ministry. And there at the baptism, that was the significance of that. Now obviously he was one with the Spirit, but all the miracles, I'm convinced that all the miracles, everything that Christ did was through the power of the Spirit. So the same Spirit that was in him is in you this morning if you're saved. Isn't that exciting? That's why Jesus said, if you'll believe, you'll do the works that I have done, and that's absolutely breathtaking, but you will do greater works that I've done, John chapter 14. In other words, the Spirit of God will enable us because of the finished work of Christ and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. The potential of being filled with the Spirit is amazing, and we just so often don't understand it. Now, let me give you a warning here. Isn't it tempting when you look at the fruit of the Spirit to even think of that selfishly? Yeah, I need some peace, Lord. I need some joy. Well, that's not the point. The point is we need to want his glory and to have his love, which will bring joy and peace, which are critical to having a testimony. And so Everything that occurs in our life needs to be for the glory of the Father, just like Christ lived for the glory of the Father, and the working of the Spirit in Him was for that purpose. He had us in mind. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him, And it's encouraging to realize that the Spirit of God does work in us like He worked in Christ. I think I've mentioned this before. I was reading Heaven's Throne Gift by Stewart, and I was flying. And I always try to take a book or something if it's going to be a little longer flight, and so I'm reading that, and I got to that point. I've heard that before, obviously. I knew it, but he just articulates it so well. It was all I can do, and I'm a shy Dutchman, but I was ready to shout on that airplane. I just thought, that is amazing. I'm the Spirit of God is in me just like He was in Christ. The potential of this is just glorious, and I'll never forget that. I can just see it clear in my mind when that truth just exploded in my heart and mind. Well, think of Peter. She uses the example of Peter, how that in his time with the Lord prior to Christ's ascension, Peter had a real bit of a rough time. Now, he did have faith. Nobody here has walked on water. He did have his doctrine right. Thou art the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. He had that clear. There were a lot of good things about Peter, but he was still very selfish, promoting himself, a lot of different needs. He denied the Lord. He became very broken, and he lost really any sense of that he could ever be used. That's why he went back a fishing. There in John chapter 22, you have the Lord restoring him to ministry. But Peter becomes a totally different man at what time? What happened to him? And we see evidence of him being transformed. Pentecost, the Spirit of God, the very Spirit that indwells you, came upon all the believers there in the temple, and Peter preached with courage. And Peter never turned back. He still was growing, but Peter never turned back. If you look with me, please, go ahead and turn there, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Speaking of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to look at what he said about the Lord Jesus. I'm actually going to back up to verse 21 of chapter 2. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's an amazing set of verses there when you see what Christ did at the cross and how he responded, and it really all the way through his life. Now, my point is this: the same Spirit that enabled him is in you and in me. And so a couple of final points that are given here. Number one, Jesus committed how much sin? Who did no sin. Did you know that God wants you to live as much free from sin as possible? Here we are, children of Adam and Eve, born in sin, dead in trespasses, sins and trespasses, and yet when we're saved, we are born from above. Our spirit is created in righteousness and true holiness, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. What I want all of us to understand is the fruit of the Spirit is what God wants for us all the time. And remember back in verse 16, if ye walk in the Spirit, ye shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we obviously know we're very frail. But when we have simple faith in the Lord and are yielded to the Spirit every moment. Now, I want you to get this. Every moment you are controlled by the Spirit, you don't sin. So you say, well, I got lots of sin. Well, then you're probably not as controlled by the Spirit as you thought you were. Okay, we go in and out of that very, very quickly. We're so self-dependent. We are so self-indulgent and are very aware of those things. And so I just want to encourage you, if you'll walk with God, you can have great victory over sin. Those habits can be changed. Remember the whole series on habits that we went through. There can be a change in your understanding of the Lord. You can overcome the awful issues of the past that you may have gone through. God is able to do that. And so Christ did no sin, as he says here. And he experienced treachery, lying, false accusations, unjust punishment, brutality, physical abuse. It's hard to hear those things talked about. Fists, clubs, rods, whips, nails, and a spear. And he committed no sin. He didn't react wrongly. He was fully under the control of the Spirit of the living God during that time. 100%. And so all the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit were at that time, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Before he came into Jerusalem that last week, he wept over Jerusalem. He was concerned for the women that were weeping for him and had a word for them. He had a heart for his mother right from the cross there. It's an amazing thing. And that's the same Spirit that's in you and me. And so Christ wants us to have that same Spirit. Stephen had it when he was being stoned. Paul had it. You read church history, you find over and over godly Christians show forth the love of Christ through terrible, terrible situations. In fact, as I speak, there are martyrs around the world. I listen every morning to a little, I want to be reminded, I listen to a little podcast that just gives the latest persecution details. So that we were to pray for those that are in prison and that are afflicted. And it's amazing. Just yesterday or the day before in Nigeria, the Fulani herdsmen, just horrible. 50,000 have died. 50,000 Christians have died in the last several years in Nigeria alone. But you read the stories and the beauty of Christ is there. It's an amazing thing. And that's why Christianity goes on, because people see Jesus. Now, that's the point. But we're pretty selfish here in our country. But that was the fruit of the Spirit. And so what verse 16 says, that we do not have to fulfill the flesh. He was the Holy Son of God. And Hebrews 4 says, that he is our high priest and he knew no sin, even though he was tempted in all points like as we are. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that. Thomas Guthrie wore, never fear to suffer, but oh, fear to sin. If you must choose between them, prefer the greatest suffering to the smallest sin. Well stated. We ought to have a very healthy hatred of sin. You know, aren't we good to rationalize and say, well, that wasn't so bad? Well, that's when we run into troubles. Because if something's not so bad, we're not walking in the Spirit. Because if the Spirit's in control, that's pretty clear to us. And then the second point is Jesus spoke no sin. Going back, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No deceit, nothing. They couldn't uncover anything when they were persecuting. He didn't talk back. He didn't try to defend himself. He just said the truth. I see the Father at the right hand. And so he kept silent. He did not cave in to saying the wrong thing. When you're filled with the Spirit, when you are wronged or people frustrate you or little ones frustrate you, which happens, and you face all of those issues, if you're in the Spirit, there's long suffering. There's kindness, there's goodness, there's a meek attitude, there is self-control, temperance. And that's really where it happens, where we can tell where we're at. is not saying things that are sinful. By the way, did you know that a person filled with the Spirit doesn't gossip? So when you hear gossip, you need to immediately stop it and turn away, because you're dealing with flesh that will reap corruption. If it's not legitimate for you to hear, then don't hear it. Today, if Christians would follow that, there'd be so much less heartache between families and believers if we would be careful. Jesus spoke no sin. And then Jesus did not resist. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He didn't fight physically, verbally. He didn't do anything to hurt anyone else. He didn't strike back. He didn't have retaliatory words. He was as a sheep led to the slaughter. He allowed the purpose of the Father to be accomplished and to do what God wanted him to do. So if you want to know, and I'm going to have to finish here, if you want to know what the Spirit-filled life looks like, just read about Christ. That's it. And so all of the virtues are of him. The person of the Holy Spirit, we need to realize he's in us and he is revealing Christ, who is a person in us. So that's why you can't segment those virtues. It's either you're in the Spirit or we are depending upon the flesh. But you know what's exciting? Even though we have habits of reaction, we have habits of thought patterns, we have habits that we just, you know, are not happy with, if you will concentrate on being yielded, the Spirit of God will give you wisdom. If you're in the Word, he'll take the Word, he'll transform your thinking, and he will bring you to a place of regular victory over whatever is distressing you about your own life. See, you feel helpless, but you're looking at yourself. You're right to feel helpless, because you and I cannot solve the problem. But when the Spirit of God's in full control, then we will see God give us the victory. The message on Sunday night really did speak to the fact of fully yielding everything to the Lord. That's when the Spirit of God works. And may God help us in that. All right, I'm sorry to leave right at this point here, but I do want to encourage you to be thinking about this. And I just want you to be encouraged. Not about you trying to figure out how to make all this happen. Just be yielded. Just stay a simple Christian trusting God. And God will take and strengthen your life if you will trust him. So, and I would encourage you, if you do have the book, you may want to take a little bit of time and reread it, just to go back over those virtues again and let that just warm your heart. Isn't it wonderful God's given us his Spirit so we can live like that? I mean, it's not a heavy weight. Man, I can have love, I can have joy, I can have peace, I can have long suffering, I can be kind, I can be good, I have the goodness of God, I can be meek and have the right perspective in my life, and I can have self-control. Hallelujah. That's amazing. And you can have that today. That's your right today as a believer. So just embrace it and learn to commune with the Holy Spirit and to let God have control. So we'll start the providence of God, kept by his hand. You'll be encouraged by this series as we look at who he is and what he does for us.